And let's pray together. Well, I'll lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather to look at your word, we pray for your help by the Spirit, that we'd understand what we read and be able to learn of Christ through it and apply it to our lives, so that we might see him more clearly and live for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, there's lots of new TV shows starting up this time of year. We've got Gary Barlow's Let It Shine. And we've got The Voice on ITV now. And dramas like Taboo and other things like that. And the adverts are all over the place for them. I even saw an advert for a telly programme in the cinema. I was watching Rogue One. And there was an advert for a television programme. The hype is amazing. Get us watching these telly programmes. But do they live up to the hype? When you actually watch them, are they as good as they're claiming to be? Or are they just the same old again? Well, Jesus makes big claims about himself. And can he live up to what he says? Can he live up to the hype? It matters, doesn't it? Because it matters for someone who's becoming a Christian or thinking of becoming a Christian. Because if they're going to put their life in Jesus' hands and what he says isn't true, then that's a really bad mistake. It matters for us, doesn't it, as Christians? If Jesus doesn't live up to what he says of himself, then we're running in the wrong direction. He makes big claims. If you remember, we've been looking in Mark for quite a while. We've had a little break for the last couple of weeks. But we've just seen Jesus sending out 12 apostles. Just turn back a page. In fact, you don't even have to turn back a page. It's on the previous page, 1008. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples on a mission to tell people about him. Great. But then the very next thing that happens is John the Baptist gets his head chopped off, or we hear about John being executed. So for the disciples, it's important to know whether it's worth it following Jesus. There's obviously a very clear risk that they might get their heads chopped off. Will it be worth it? Well, now Jesus proves that it is, and he does it in style. What he does in this passage here proves that he is the Lord and Saviour he's claimed to be. And it also shows us something of what it's like to have Jesus in our lives if we follow him. So what we're going to do is we're going to see what happened, which is probably very familiar. We're going to ask the question, what does that show about Jesus? And then we're going to say, what does that show about having him in our lives? So, first of all then, what happened? What happened? Well, it's a sort of a day in the life of Jesus, isn't it? Starts earlier on, and he's trying to escape the crowds. One thing that Mark is very clear about throughout the Gospel is that crowds would follow Jesus. He's immensely popular. But he wants some peace and quiet with the apostles coming back and telling about what they've done. So, verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they'd done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they're trying to escape the crowds. But what happens? Well, the people have sussed them and they recognise them, verse 33. And Jesus has gone on a boat to a remote place, a solitary place. But all the other people have run there ahead of them. Verse 33, this hungry crowd arrives. And you can imagine if you were a young lad living in a village around the lake and you'd be sort of messing around with your mates. You see these crowds of people running through the village. What are they doing? Come on, let's run after them. You'd grab your dad and you'd run after them and you'd join this big crowd. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, it's great, it's Jesus. We're going to hear Jesus. And you'd end up on this hillside somewhere, miles from anywhere. And Jesus arrives in his boat and there you all are, this great big crowd. And you're a hungry crowd. And verse 34, Jesus feeds them. Have a look. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. See, Jesus is feeding the crowd. He's feeding the hungry sheep. Feeding and food is a very important thing in this passage. As you'll realise, it's the feeding of the 5,000. And did you notice earlier on, verse 31, they didn't have a chance to eat. Being fed, having your hunger satisfied, is a big thing to think about here. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. There they are, this large crowd, like sheep without a shepherd. Don't know whether they're coming or going. They don't know God, don't know how to live for him. And Jesus teaches them many things. Well, later on, it actually is time for dinner. Verse 35. By this time it's late in the day, and the disciples say, send them away so they can get food somewhere else. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. He's messing around with his disciples, isn't he? And they say to him, look, it would be very expensive to do that. Verse 37, that would take more than half a year's wages. If you look at the little footnote, it says E, Greek, take 200 denarii. Denarii was a coin that you'd give a labourer for a day's work. I don't know how much you earned in a day's work, but there's 200 of them. That's how much it would cost to feed this crowd. So maybe just a basic labourer, maybe that's £10,000. Or a heating engineer, £100,000. Half a year's wages to feed them. And Jesus does. He feeds them again. And he feeds them huge amounts. The 5,000 people there were told right at the end. And how much does he feed them? Verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. All of them ate and were satisfied. So they're satisfied. They've had enough, haven't they? There's no one there thinking, oh, I could really eat a bit more, please. No, he gave them enough. And not only that, even more than enough, there were, verse 43, 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish left over. Amazing. And not only that, but where the disciples said about the half a year's wages, are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it them to eat? That would just be bread. Jesus feeds them bread and fish. So it's an even better meal than the disciples imagined. It's an incredible day with Jesus. So what does it tell us about Jesus? It's a very simple message, and it's that Jesus really is the divine Son of God, the Saviour. He lives up to the hype. If you're going to see a panto somewhere, you'll read the reviews, won't you? You look in the Wimbledon Guardian or whatever and read the reviews of the panto. And if people say, that's a really good pantomime, you really should go to this and see it, Tim Vine's fantastic, or whatever it is, you think, great, I'll go along. And you go along to the panto, and lo and behold, it's as good as the reviews. Fantastic. And that's exactly what Jesus is like here. He's as good as the reviews. He's exactly what he says he is. He really is the divine Son of God, the Saviour. Notice how confident he is about himself here. This is no surprise to him that he can feed these people. Mark has already told us about Jesus' authority. And if you remember, back in chapters 4 and 5, he had a sequence of events, calming the storm, the demon-possessed man, Jairus' daughter and the woman who'd been bleeding for years, all these events showing us Jesus' authority over all sorts of things. And now that idea is brought back here. So it's no surprise to him that he can do this, or to anyone who's thinking about it. It's almost as if he's toying with the disciples. Verse 37, you give them something to eat. He knows what he can do. And then when it comes to it, he just gets on with it. Verse 49, Jesus told them to make all the people sit down. So they do. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And he just distributes it. He's completely confident in who he is. Notice as well his immense power. You know, we take it for granted. We know this story, this event, really, it's really familiar to us. But these are miracles. They're things that actually happened that shouldn't have happened. Science says they can't happen, doesn't it? And maybe your friends who tell you that. But, and that's exactly the point. It's exactly the point of the miracles. And that's what Jesus' friends and disciples thought. That's what the people gathered there thought. This can't happen. And we know that on other occasions, when Jesus does these miraculous things, the disciples are terrified. Because they look at him and they think, who is it who can do this stuff? So it's the immense power of Jesus. And what he does here, in feeding 5,000, it can only happen if he can somehow interfere with the fabric of space-time and matter. And you can only do that if in sci-fi you're Doctor Who, or in reality if you're actually God come to Earth. It's the only way it can happen. And so this shows his authority. in Mark's terms, i.e. he's the one who's in control and he can do what he says he does. He can do what he says he can do. And in a way, if you think of what authority means, it means identity. So who is the one who has this authority? It can only be the divine Son of God, the Saviour. So his confidence is immense power. And there's something else to notice, that he's like the prophets. He's like Moses. He's like Elijah. But he's even better. So I don't know if you remember from when we were looking at the John the Baptist event a little while back. The previous passage in verse 14 and 15. People are asking questions about who Jesus is. So King Herod heard about all he's doing. And some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he's Elijah. And still others claimed, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. So is Jesus a prophet? Is he Elijah? Is he Moses? Come back. Elijah, famously, if you were a Jew or if you've read your Bible, gave to a widow who lived in a place called Zarephath a jar of flour and a jar of oil that didn't run out. It never ran out. So she was able to keep on making bread through a famine, day after day after day. So Elijah brought bread. He fed people. Moses, in the desert, he called out to God and God sent manna to the people, bread for the people to eat, day after day after day. So both Elijah and Moses are bread bringers under God's power. And here's Jesus doing the same, but better. Doing the same, but in a huge scale, with bread and fish, bringing bread from heaven. So he's like Moses and he's like Elijah, but he's greater. He really is the divine Son of God, the Saviour. So, what does that mean for us? What does it mean? Well, it's really simple, isn't it, really? Only Jesus can really feed us. Only Jesus can really feed us. What he does here in Mark's Gospel, it is, most of all, it's a sign of who he is, his authority, and that he's the divine Son of God. But it also shows us what life with him is like. And if we trust in Jesus, what life with him is about. You know, what would you do with £20,000? That may be what 200 denarii was. What would you do with that amount of money? It'd be great, wouldn't it? Solve lots of problems, get a new car maybe, fix a house in a few ways, have a nice holiday. Yeah, all sorts of great things you could do. And here in verse 37, it buys bread. It would buy bread for 5,000 people. But Jesus manages to feed those 5,000 without the money and give them bread and fish. We always think that money is going to solve things, but in fact, it's Jesus we need and not money. At New Year's Eve, there was a massive lottery prize in the UK lottery, £26 million. But Jesus can give us more than that, not in cash, but in how he can feed us, because we are like these people. We're sheep without a shepherd if we don't have him. But with him, we receive his compassion and we're fed by him. So this time of year means that we end up going back to work, doesn't it? And if we're working, if you're not retired and enjoying your retirement. And what's it like going back to work? It's tough, isn't it? And what happens is you realise at the end of the first week that it's the same as ever. Christmas was nice, but work is never going to satisfy. Can be great work, but it's never going to be enough. There's also lots of entertainment around, isn't there, for us to enjoy. Pantomimes, TV shows, you go and see sport, and all sorts of things. Football, and all of those things. They're fun, but they're fleeting. And here, we've got the one who satisfies and isn't just temporary. The one who alone knows our needs and has compassion on us and can teach us about God, about himself, about the wonderful grace of God, the one who can really feed us. So it's a great encouragement as we set out on the year. You know, what's going to come in 2017? Who knows? We don't all come. There'll be lots of people saying to us, oh, this can make life so much better for you, this being something other than Jesus. And we can know as we set out on the year, whatever they say can make life better. Nothing could be better than Jesus. Nothing. There's a whole lot of people who inevitably will say to us, why waste time on Jesus? Why do you do that? Why do you pray? Why do you go to church? Why do you trust him? Science has said dot, 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 whatever. And it's great to see this passage and know that once again, whatever they say, they're barking up the wrong tree. And Jesus alone is where we can be satisfied and properly fed by God. There's going to be life-shaking events in 2017, aren't there? Things will happen in our lives, in our church family, in your family, in your work life maybe, that will change everything. And when these events come along, it's as if the earth is shaking for us and we lose our bearings. Claire and I have just heard that a friend of ours has died, age 58, heart attack suddenly. And for his family, that is a life-shaking event. But they know Jesus. And for them and for us, when these events happen, whenever they happen, we can know this one who is able to feed us. He alone can satisfy. He is the divine Son of God and Saviour. What's going to happen politically in 2017? Who knows? What will happen with Brexit? Well, will there be an election? What will happen with the government? Who knows? What will happen with the Queen? Whatever happens, this is encouraging us to stick with Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000 says, hold on to him. He lives up to the hype. He is who he says he is. And he can do more than we can even think of and imagine. He makes big claims about himself. Back then, he made big claims. Today, we make big claims on his behalf. And he lives up to every single one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this great event. Thank you for the way that Jesus, with complete confidence, fed people from nothing, almost nothing. And we thank you that he is the great good shepherd, has compassion on us, is able to feed us with your word and with the salvation and rescue that we need. And we pray for your help as this year begins and as things happen and progress, surprises, shocks. We pray for your help to be those who are confident in Jesus and turn to him and know in him that satisfaction, that feeding that only he can bring. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer, so if you'd like to look to the service sheet on page 2, we've got the Lord's Prayer. Let's join in praying the Lord's Prayer together. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray.